Good evening to Seattle and to all of the peoples that live in the pyramids in Egypt. Good evening to the LA freaks and the cosmic wanderers. Good evening to the ghosts of the ancient pirates that ravaged the seven seas. Good evening. It's your friend Dan again. I'm just here drinking my Sanka. It is roughly 10:30 p.m. That's 10:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in Seattle. It's lovely and cromulac outside. You can taste the barium and the strontium in the air as it sucks out the moisture. It gives you that nice radioactive cooling. All of the fuzzy whizzle creatures that live within the sewers are coming out to say hello to the night. This podcast this evening will really have one core subject of many facets. If you've been listening to me in recent weeks and you are a person who voted for Trump, you may have been, you know, per the last podcast, disappointed that I mentioned the possibility that he would concede the stolen election. Not that it was guaranteed, it's still not guaranteed. He hasn't technically conceded yet, but he is doing the kabuki dance in that direction. And if you really think about the theater, what it requires, it's like Al Gore. In the year 2000, Al Gore could have conceded, but he didn't. There had to be that kabuki dance. There had to be that, well, they stole it from us. They stole it. The dirty Bushes stole the election. They stole the election, those dirty Bushes. That's right. Al Gore, in the year 2000, had to do the kabuki dance. He had to do the bookie-wookie kabuki. I really tried to fight for you and the whales and the polar bears, but another will come, and she will be 3 feet tall and 16 years old, and her name will be Greta, and she will scream of the horrors of the planet as she sails around the world on an advanced composite keelboat that likely, for all the materials required to make that keelboat, including the computers for modeling, likely destroyed a lot of wilderness in Africa and other places to have the fancy keelboat. But really, let's not get into details of hypocrisy. Yeah. Al Gore, in 2000, had to play the kabuki game. You know, one of the scenarios I didn't want to think about because, well, it's connected to my greatest fear, and that is what I call the infinite gray nothing. Which is that in some completely grotesque and neo-Stalinistic monoculture kind of way, the people who run the world will ease us into a kind of THX 1138 hellhole of having our entire existence monitored and controlled, and any individuality, any free will, any actual culture that would represent humankind would cease to exist. And even if it didn't last forever, because nothing like this ever could, it could last long past, you know, my likely date of death, whether it's next year or in 20 years, okay? But the fact is, the infinite gray nothing is the essentially the dream of the devil, if you ask me, and definitely the dream of a lot of commie, you know, New World Order globalist shitbirds in Seattle, but it's my nightmare. But one thing that would have to happen is you'd have to have another kabuki dance. It can't be the Boogahoo or the Fort Sumter or the Tilcher Cannons at the Redcoats. No, no, no. In fact, here's what's going to happen next. Trump is going to finish off his kabuki dance of, I tried to fight the good fight. And I'm thinking it could happen even before December the 14th. I would not be surprised if it happened this week, if Trump conceded. And he'll give a speech, and it'll be a little bit Nixon-esque in the whole, well, the dirty, rotten bastard stole it from me. That's right, the dirty, rotten bastard stole it from you, Trump. And then what happens? Well, probably the flying monkeys continue. And in the infinite gray nothing scenario, which is the globalist one world government, one world religion, phone booth Jesus a la THX 1138 hellhole, yeah, we drift towards that. And a lot of us will just have to be taken care of up front. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there that to get to their goal, you know, kind of like a telethon, to get to our goal of, you know, 5 billion slaves, we're going to have to remove a few billion to get to our goal of, you know, a few, maybe a billion slaves. Yes, that is our telethon goal, our satanic telethon to reach the goal of a billion slaves. What happens to the rest? Well, you know, we don't really care. So this is how it plays out. Another thing too. Biden, as previously stated multiple times in my podcast, good old Uncle Joe is in some sort of a weird Schrodinger, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, alive or dead cat kind of state. And it's sort of irrelevant if the lights are on upstairs. I don't think they are. He might be the equivalent of one of those CIA cockroaches from the 70s that they control with a wire, you know? I think that's where Biden might be. He might be a remote-controlled cockroach at this point. But the bottom line is Biden is a magic carpet. And Kamala Harris is the princess who rides on the magic carpet to become queen. That's what's going to happen after that. The next thing is you have a couple months of President Biden, and then he dies in March or April. And then in March or April, you have President Kamala Harris. And who will be her vice president? Well, I think it's dealer's choice. I don't know. I would not be surprised if it wasn't Hillary Clinton. I would not be surprised if it wasn't Bill Gates. I would not be surprised if it wasn't, you know, some Republican douchebag. I mean, there are all sorts of possibilities for this neocon, neo-Stalinist, up-the-butt, yin-yang, scumbag reality to unfold. It'll be terrible, whoever it is. It'll be a terrible, terrible person. But also keep in mind, these are actors. The real decision makers are not at the White House. So sorry for shocking you there. The real people making the big decisions, you don't vote for them, you never did. And I'm so sorry that if no one's told you this, I'm really sorry. But the stuff that actually impacts your life, the stuff that impacts your liberty, the stuff that is going to determine whether or not your kids are poisoned by Bill Gates, those things are not resolved by voting. They never were, probably. And You know, even if voting did work, it's still a kind of shitty way to solve problems. Because it does amount to a kind of gang warfare by proxy, a really cowardly gang warfare where one part of society victimizes the other part. It's kind of shitty. I wouldn't want to live in that country because you end up basically living around a lot of shitty fucking people who just don't mind harming their neighbors. Because why? Because they found 51 people out of 100 who said it was okay to do something shitty. Great. You know what? On any given day, if you gave me a random 100 people, I bet I could convince 80 of them that A, Bigfoot is real, and B, we should all go kill Bigfoot. I bet I could. And maybe if I couldn't, I could probably find some kind of nonsense I could convince them of. Like wearing a mask is good for you and good for your community. That's some pretty fucking shitty advice, but a lot of fucking people in Seattle believe that nonsense. So we got the timeline straight. In a week or so, you know, maybe sooner, maybe later, President Trump will concede. He'll do so in a statesmanlike way, and he'll do so with a little bit of the Nixon-esque to give it flavor for the people that believe QAnon was real. But, you know, just enough to give some sort of moral, I don't know how to put this, to give some moral credibility to the President Biden. Because they don't really want a repeat of 2000 or 16. They want some air of legitimacy, I believe. I don't know that they want a civil war because the problem is a civil war means you lose the country. I don't think people understand how terribly complex this Rube Goldberg machine we call America is at this point. I mean, I'm not saying looking at it weird will cause it to fall over, but the fact is, they're getting awfully close to basically screwing up the whole fucking thing. Our logistics supply chains, the way that we produce food, the way that we even protect ourselves, almost every feature of contemporary America is too complicated. And then you bake into that any notion of quote unquote rule of law, and the complication level goes up exponentially. So I don't think a lot of people understand how complicated things fail, but they don't tend to fail in predictable ways, and they don't tend to fail in very graceful ways. In fact, the failures tend to be catastrophic and horrible and cascading, and one failure builds on another. For example, most of the nuclear reactors in this country are on the East Coast, and a fair portion of those are boiling water or pressurized steam, which means they're dangerous as fuck. And not very resilient, although that word is being used by a lot of creepy fucks now, but not very resilient in the context of societal breakdown. There are many things you can do with a boiling water reactor, but kind of like the female femme fatale in Fatal Attraction, Glenn Close, I think that was like, what, 1986 or 87? Anywho, like sexy Glenn Close in the 80s, you can do a lot of things with a boiling water reactor, but you can't ignore it. And just because you scram it, which means you shut it down and you have the control rods fully inserted, doesn't mean you can't ignore it. For a boiling water reactor, you have to continuously keep the reactor cool, even with the control rods inserted. If that reactor starts to heat up, then you run the risk of losing the control rods. Once you've lost the control rods, you've lost the reactor. And when I say you've lost the reactor, you end up with Fukushima. You end up with China Syndrome. You end up with a horrible ecological mess. One of those reactors on the East Coast is arguably within a day's driving distance of two or three other reactors. Once you lose one, you create panic. Once you lose one, you create traffic jams. Once you lose one reactor, the systems that support the other reactor, the human systems, the power systems, the logistical systems, all become weaker. That's what it's like to live in an overly complicated neo-Stalinist fucking hellhole. So when I say that complex things fail and unpredictable and mathematically catastrophic, meaning discontinuous ways, and that these cascading failures build on each other, this is what I'm fucking talking about. And it's really way scarier than what I just described. So this idea that they would trigger a civil war only makes sense if they intend to kill most people. And I just don't mean in America. I mean everywhere. You know, there used to be an old joke, if the American economy sneezes, the rest of the world gets the flu or something like that. But the point is, we are still on a planet where a huge portion of the world depends upon the American consumer. We are. We're still in that reality, whether we want to admit it or not. China's economy will not function correctly unless there is an American consumer willing to outsource their, well, frankly, their future to insource some cheaply made shit. That is a kind of pump, a system, a part of this daisy chain of neo-Stalinist, mercantilist, crooked countries. And they are all connected this way through multiple central banks. Right now, you could argue that human civilization is also, in addition to being wretchedly militaristic and horribly monstrous and satanic, right now human civilization might arguably be the biggest pyramid scheme ever. Yeah. If you take all the derivatives, debt, responsibility, insurance contracts, all of the unfunded liabilities, all of the reasonable estimates of counterparty risk, and you put that into a giant bucket called all the debt that planet Earth could owe, that number is somewhere between $3 and $5 quadrillion US dollars. And that's before we really hyperinflate this year. That number could get ridiculously bigger because hyperinflation is coming. One, you know, people look at Bitcoin right now. They say, well, my God, look at Bitcoin, Dan. Listen, Bitcoin is doing what property has been doing and what other bullshit financial schemes have been doing. They have been sucking up the hyperinflation. Bitcoin right now is doing exactly what it was designed to do. It was designed to degrade the impact of physical silver and gold trading and use as money. It's actually done that. It's been designed as a kind of miniature Keynesian technophile program for buying worthless servers. It's done that too. It's had a lot of purposes, that battleship called Bitcoin. Oh, thank you, Satoshi. Who the fuck are you now? Are you that new porn star in the Japanese category on Pornhub? Maybe, Satoshi. Yeah, anywho. So but let's talk about, let's stay on subject, because believe it or not, the main topic for tonight is what I call the rehabilitation of Hunter Biden. Okay? One of the things that will have to happen before, you know, Joseph dies, before President-elect Joe Biden dies, and he will be dead by April, in my opinion. One of the things that has to happen before, you know, Biden is dead by April is they have to get Hunter Biden into shape, okay? He's got to kind of, he's probably got to stop doing the meth. Sorry, Hunter. For this plan to work, Hunter Biden will have to give a funeral oration. He will have to give another, yes, very statesmanlike speech over the dead body of his father, and that speech, he has to be ready by March, I think. And so there's a lot of stuff he needs to do. He needs to stop doing the meth. He needs to give up on the cocaine. All the Wazi pills and the Remulac, all the adrenochrome has to go in the toilet. He has to actually maybe get a little healthier. He might have to eat some vegetables. He might have to get off the baby blood diet. Or maybe they have to feed him more baby blood. Or maybe he'll just start eating Dutch babies. And you know what? Is that another name for Honey Pup Pancake? Ask Bill Gates. He's going to have to stop doing as many hookers, okay? For Hunter Biden to be rehabilitated in that kind of Soviet-esque, you know, communist society, Orwellian hellhole sense of things, if we're going to take the character of Hunter Biden and make him into the saddened young hero residing over the dead father, and we got to do that in Shakespearean, you know, in a deep Shakespearean way, it has to be poignant. If it's not poignant, you're fucked. And Hunter Biden isn't poignant yet. Right now, he's just a fucking a drug addict piece of shit loser. But put the right team together. Get him off the meth. Get him off the cocaine. Get him off the Blimbo cubes. Get him off the fucking heroin. Get him off all the crap he's been shoving into his gullet that's been eating him out from the inside out. Get him off the bad stuff. Okay, get him on a good, you know, I'd get him on a good keto diet. Get him a personal trainer. Or maybe just someone who watches him to make sure he doesn't do meth. And then get him a really good speechwriter. I don't know if Peggy Noonan is still alive, but I might get Peggy Noonan or maybe even Pat Buchanan. Oh, Dan, that can't happen. He'd never write speeches for Hunter. You know what? I'm pretty certain that Pat Buchanan would suck the fucking chrome off a trailer hitch if he paid him enough money. No offense to you guys or Pat Buchanan, but I don't believe there are good people who have ever gone to D.C., at least not in my lifetime or a few decades before. So if Pat Buchanan was part of the system at one point, that means he's covered in a kind of shit that you can never get rid of. That's my opinion. So yeah, Pat Buchanan could write his fucking funeral oration, but he's got to get off the hookers. He's got to get cleaned up. He's got to be seen in public, probably helping some animal. So right now, the Secret Service is being told that, you know, the transitional Secret Service is being told, you need to abduct some dogs and cats. And then you need to set up some sort of fake dog and cat fighting ring. And then you can have Hunter Biden discover it in the woods. And Hunter Biden in the woods at night with a flashlight because he's looking for the polka dot fancy pants. And he finds this illegal cat and dog fighting ring. And he breaks it up. And he saves the day. This is something that will have to happen before his dad dies. Hunter Biden has to get off the meth and the cocaine. He must stop doing the sideways love positions with hookers. He'll have to clean the herpetic sores off of his body. He'll have to clean the parasites off of his gonads. All of the terrible, terrible diseases inside of him will have to be irradiated out of him. And you know, and he's going to have to save some cats and dogs, or they're going to have to set up something, some type of Sully Sullenberger type thing. Now, I don't think Hunter can save some people on a plane by landing it in the Hudson belly flop style. I think that gimmick has already been done. Yeah, that's already been done, but maybe the Secret Service could find some Monarch MKUltra mind control drone and have them go out and, like, yeah, break into people's homes and steal shit. And so Hunters, this is January of 2021. Yes, it's January of 2021. And Hunter is at Martha's Vineyard house sitting for a friend who's sick from the COVID. And he sees some ruckus nearby at someone's home, something going on. And he's worried that something bad might be happening. So Hunter goes over and visits the home, and he breaks up a fight or some sort of attempted murder. I'll let the script writers that they hire figure that shit out. But the bottom line is this. They could set him up to be the hero. They got to do that. Between now and March, they have to clean him up. They got to get him off the meth and the cocaine and the yahoos and the yobbers. They got to clean out all the parasites and the syphilis and the gonorrhea and the crabs. They got to get him cleaned up, and then they have to give him a heroic moment a la, you know, Star Wars, a la Joseph Campbell, the hero's journey, and it probably happens in Martha's Vineyard. And then there's that poignant day in March. Maybe it's the Ides of March. You know how these fuckers love their bullshit numerology. Maybe in the Ides of March, an old man falls. Maybe we even hear in the distance that song by Collective Soul. What was it? Lightning Strike or Lightning Crash or something. Yeah, maybe they play some Collective Soul. Or Hunter Biden does when he finds the body. And it's going to be sad and poignant. Of course, by this point, Biden will have been dead for 90 to 100 days. But they've kept him in a Ruth Bader Ginsburg quasi, you know, old school Star Trek Hitler planet kind of state. And yeah, they have a little fucking Roach Motel device installed in his Glumbus case of his head. But now he's officially dead. President is dead. Long live the president. Hooker. Yes, then Kamala, President Kamala Harris, will become the hooker overlord. And we will truly be a hooker republic at that point. Yep. All the hookers will take power, and, you know, there'll have to be a really kick-ass speech. In order for this to work, Hunter has to be standing over the miserable body of his wretched father, which will be covered in his own types of sores and other gross things from thawing out, because they will have frozen him improperly, so he'll still be thawing out the wrong way. And so it'll be a closed casket, but you'll smell it. And the hydrogen sulfide will be so bad that over the fucking cathedral, the satanic fucking church where they hold this funeral, there will be, yeah, there will be buzzards circling. It'll be a speech that will last approximately 15 to 20 minutes. It'll be an elegy, a eulogy. It will be majestic and poignant. Hunter will have grown a beard by then, in part because they thought it would make him look kind of 1950s Dick Van Dyke. And also, it covers up some of his hooker sores. His meth sores and other things. Yeah. Hunter will talk of a world where all the good things happen to nice people, and only bad people are harmed. Hunter will describe a world where if only we can discover the bad people and toss them someplace, maybe a camp or even call it a reservation to make it sound classy. Yep. Hunter will describe a future of space rockets and space cats. He'll describe a future of walrus kings and the Magneto brothers of the Deep South. Hunter will go on about a hooker paradise where everyone gets cocaine. Everyone gets the meth they need. Everyone gets the drugs and the hookers and the free money to, you know, take part in those real estate schemes. Fannie Freddie, you fuck. And of course, the COVID. He will give a speech about the COVID because whatever did actually kill Joseph Biden or is killing him, what will kill him, whatever we think it is, it could end up being a rhinoceros. Like, who knows what will kill Biden, but what will actually kill Biden will be the COVID. So Hunter will talk of the COVID and how in the final days his father said, "Oh, son, son of mine, come forth and listen to my tale, my woeful sadness, my tale of woe, my lamentations. Listen, oh son, listen, oh Hunter, kind son, great meth head. Listen to the lamentations, the sadness of your father of great woe and curses, for I have had the COVID and it has given me sores and pustules. It got into my bones and cracked them open like peanut shells. There is COVID in my eyeballs and in my scrotox. Oh, son, I have COVID in my blinkdle. Oh, son, I have COVID in my smingus and all over my frong. Hunter will tell of the last days of his father, his skin falling off, his hair turning purple and then green and then red and then yellow, all of the fingernails becoming long and then short, the fumes and the gases, the noxiousness. It was almost like swamp gas was everywhere, coming out of every orifice. Oh, the sadness of the COVID took my father, he'll say. Oh, the sadness of the COVID. And what? Why? Because of dirty, nasty Trump voters who didn't wear their masks. And of course, the Palestinians. Yes, the Palestinians. Therefore, I recommend that President Harris signed the "We'll Take the Rest of the Land from the Palestinians" Act for the Israeli government. Yes, indeed, it was the Palestinians that gave us the COVID. Well, the Iranians too, and is there oil in North Korea? Oh, no, okay, then we'll skip that. But definitely Putin gave, you know, my dad the COVID. Oh, Putin. Putin. Yeah. The funeral oration that Hunter Biden will give sometime in March will be so epic that multiple news outlets like the WAPO and the New York Times and the Saturday Evening What the Fuck and all of the great newspapers of Seattle and the LA Times and the Las Vegas Journal bullshit and the Atlanta Journal Republic crapola, they're all going to give these really nice fucking op-eds about Hunter and how poignant he is and how they love the Dick Van Dyke look. And maybe, is there a Senate contest in his future? And before you say a meth head can't be a senator, you guys realize that you're an idiot if you say that shit. Yeah, I think at this point in American history, if there ever is another election, a meth head can be president. A meth head can be president. Yep. Hunter finishes his speech after he's been fully rehabilitated. He's Dick Van Dyke looking. He's wearing fashionable yet conservative clothing. He has totally gotten rid of his old phone that had all the hookers on it and all the drug dealers. He is currently teaching classes to poor people on how not to be poor. It's very poignant. He's adopting cats. He's adopting cats and children from countries that have been swallowed by the sea. Oh, Hunter. Such a brave lad. Such a brave, brave lad. I know some of you are horrified by this, but I just got to tell you, if the Boogaloo or the Civil War, or if there were any people organized to fight back against this tyranny, I think it would have happened by now. I do. And there are too many people in the quote-unquote Boogaloo who believe in Trump and believe in Q, and they've been told to wait and follow the plan. What is the plan? The plan is just to wait around until somebody kills you. That's the plan. That was always the Q plan. Where we go one, we go all, is a dog whistle to send you into a death camp. So sorry that no one explained that to you. And listen, you can either learn to deal with disappointment, or you can be just really sad in a few days and think, oh shit, I voted for Trump and they stole the election. But you don't want to meditate on the possibility that, like or as with Bernie Sanders, that Trump is in on the deal. You don't want to believe it, because you want to believe the system works, and it doesn't. If it ever did, it doesn't any longer. It just does not. There is no system that works. It is an overly complicated rumbus bag. It is the worst fucking nightmare science experiment ever created. It is the greatest pyramid scheme in the history of history. And you know, maybe perhaps you believe it can go on forever. And like I said, I have that horrible fear. I even wrote a story about it once called Morny Dreck. MornyDrek. Morny Dreck. It was a story about a future where certain problems from a technological perspective were solved, but they made the wrong choices about how to treat that. And because of that, you ended up with what we have now, but in an extraordinarily absurd and gross world. A world even grosser, more absurd and stupid. And yet, because people have their Scrumptic cubes in the Blimliac, because they have all their video games in their mind, their mind fucking numbing zombie experiments, because they have the things they need to not even be human, they don't care that they lost it. They don't care that they live in the infinite gray nothing. They don't care that they're just well-fed, well-taken-care-of cattle. Because that's what they think is normal. But some of you out there are not cattle. I have some friends and I have some family. And some of my friends and family believe the bullshit. And some do not. And the ones that do believe, I understand why. Because if they didn't believe, they would have to wrestle with the possibility that the future is potentially very grim. And a lot of people don't want to believe that. They want to believe in, you know, frankly, shit that is a lot less believable than God. Like, my faith in the Lord in heaven is easier to justify than faith in this wretched empire. But really, people want to believe it. So yes, Hunter Biden gives a speech. And then Kamala Harris gives her following speech. And she talks about how towards the end of the COVID ravaging President Biden, she talks about how he said, you know, we need to have more women in this shizzle. And so in her little speech, she declares that, I know this is horrible, but I think we have to point it horrible. She declares that Hillary Clinton will be the vice president of the United States. Oh boy, Harris Clinton. And you know what? This all works. People will buy it. People will accept it. Why? For the same reason that people are not rising up. And probably for the same reason that Jesus Christ prophesied all of this, you know, about 2,000 years ago. The same reason. This was prophecy. This is what Jesus said would happen, and it's happening. You know, you can't really have the tribulation unless most people are just zombies or pieces of shit. If most people were actually living the kingdom life according to God, respecting their neighbor, living free and dignified, and working together to voluntarily solve problems without pointing guns at each other's heads, if we were actually living that world, there would be no tribulation. In fact, one could argue that is close to what the Millennium Kingdom, it wouldn't be the Millennium Kingdom, but that would be close to what the Millennium Kingdom would look like. There would be no need for a tribulation. But that's not what's going on. When I walk out the door, I am reminded that that is not what's going on. So maybe one of the simplest explanations to why there will be no civil war is because most of the people in this country are just as fallen can be at this point. That most of the people in this country are basically sodomites. And I don't mean that in reference to any type of homosexual behavior. I mean sodomite in the sense that they are without principles or values or ethics. They have given up so much of their moral compass that their own children are in danger. People have become so corrupt that they have endangered their own children. And I have to say, even though I have friends who agree and disagree on many things, you know, my friend Jim mentioned Malachi 4, and Malachi 4 is worth revisiting. Yes, it could be fulfilled prophecy. It might be fulfilled, and that means it's already happened. But it might also be wisdom and fulfilled prophecy. It might be something worth thinking about. I think that we live in an age where a lot of parents have abandoned their children to evil, and there's no nice way of putting that. And if you've abandoned your kids to public schools, you really have abandoned them to evil at this point. You have. So Kamala Harris gives her speech on the day of the funeral of the late President Biden. Sometime in late March, let's just say my birthday, March 24th, because dear Lord, my Lord in heaven loves his sense of humor. On my birthday, they will give the funeral orations and Vice President Hillary Clinton will be sworn in. Yep. Vice President Hillary Clinton will be sworn into office. Huzzah, huzzoo, huzzay. And what do I tell you? What do I tell you at this point that you've heard the story of the rehabilitation of Hunter Biden? Hunter Biden, by Christmas, needs to be growing his Dick Van Dyke beard. Hunter Biden, by Christmas, needs to be dressing more conservatively. He needs to stop doing the meth, which means probably Hunter Biden has been doing a lot of drugs during this weird time. Because even though it's bullshit, you have to understand he is probably a victim of childhood ritualistic sexual abuse, Monarch, and MKUltra. So even though his dad, well, actually his dad doesn't know either. Even though Kamala Harris knows this is all bullshit, Joseph Biden is no longer at home and his son is a meth head. And meth heads are known for their paranoia. So yes, he's currently probably doing lots of meth. So they're going to have to get him into a rehab facility. So by Christmas, he can come out of the rehab and stand before the throng and say, I did the meth. I did the meth and the crack cocaine. I did the meth and the cocaine and the crack on the hooker's butt. Yes, I did the meth and the opium and the yazoo and the Brimulac and the crocodile. I did it on hookers' butts and in hookers' blumpuses. Any place I could find a hole in the hooker, I shoved in some cocaine. And I did it. I did the cocaine off the hookers. And he'll give his sorrowful speech, because before he can give his great funeral oration, before he can be completely rehabilitated, before he can save the lost cats and the lost dogs from the dog-cat fighting place, or save his friends at Martha's Vineyard, he has to get the drugs out of his system. And people will find out. So there'll be a day. It'll be poignant. It'll be poignant. In fact, I think Tom Hanks will show up. Yes, Tom Hanks will show up, and he will ceremonially be his friend in need as a friend indeed bullshit. And Hunter will give a speech with his Dick Van Dyke looking face, and he will say, "Listen, folks, I did all that. I did all the drugs and all the hookers, and it was terrible, and I'll never do it again, and I'm on a journey with my father to bring America back. Yes, I'm like Mark Anthony to Julius Caesar, maybe, kind of. But the point is, when the senators come with the knives, I mean, he's not really home. Dad's no longer home. He's just a flesh box. He's just a roach motel for a CIA mind control chip. Dad is not home. He's a magic carpet. And Kamala Harris has taken that magic carpet ride." As seen on FEMA TV. As seen on FEMA TV. As seen on FEMA TV. I told you there'd be one core topic, and it was, you know, how do we talk about the future in terms of Hunter Biden? Because if there is a civil war, if everything goes to shit, Hunter Biden is either going to be in a bunker someplace, either here or in Antarctica, or he'll be dead. People like Hunter Biden won't survive what's coming unless they have a bunker to go to. But if the bunker future is not the future, if they don't intend to set fire to the restaurant, so to speak, and they do want the big reset, then that means that Hunter has to go into a rehab facility. He's going to have a poignant post-rehab speech with Tom Hanks. And then sometime in March, when his dad is formally declared dead, he'll have to be ready to give a funeral oration followed by Kamala, who will talk about how poignant everything is and how statesmanlike, and welcome Vice President Hillary Clinton, and she'll give a speech, and wow. Hillary will stand before the throng over the dead, decaying body as the buzzards circle above. She will talk of a future of tubes and wires. She'll talk of health care and health certificates and vaccines and dogs that carry vaccines. She'll talk about a Boston Robotics dog named Chip that will smell people for viruses and smell them for vaccinations. And Chip will go around smelling you and see if you've been chipped or not. And if you haven't been chipped or had your vaccinations, Chip, the robot dog, will bite you and then find the next victim. And of course, some people will immediately go into shock and die, but that'll be the COVID. Just as what killed, you know, Joe Biden. The COVID killed him. The COVID killed you, Joe. The COVID killed you, Joe. You're dead from the COVID. And that is the core topic for tonight that we've discussed. You now know the future, one potential narrative. There is still, I think, a basic competition between two narratives right now. There is the narrative of set fire to everything, get the fuck out of Dodge. And I think that that is still, in many ways, the dominant narrative. I do. But there's also a narrative whereby Trump gives a speech in the next few days, maybe a week from now, and he tells everybody some statesman-like shit and does some Nixon-esque crap, and he blames the dirty bastards a little, but he gives enough moral basis so that, you know, when President Harris becomes President Harris in April, people won't be completely, you know, freaked out. But the bottom line is, it's just kabuki. It's just like Al Gore in 2000. It's just kabuki. You gotta fight the good fight. There are people, this is the thing, the Democrats in 2000, 2001, they had to do the kabuki into 2001, you know, to the point that the Clinton administration actually, at least in terms of the drama, made it look like they were sabotaging the Bush administration. No, 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 guys. The Trump kabuki has to end before Christmas because he has to be able to say, well, unlike Al Gore, blah, 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 that'll be his Nixon-esque remark. And that'll be a statesman-like bullshit. And that'll be the red meat he throws at conservatives who said, well, why didn't you fight until hell froze? Well, because I didn't want to be like those shitty Democrats. You know, and that's what he'll say when the kabuki theater ends. When the kabuki theater collapses and all that's left is Hillary giving her final speech. And it will be the final speech of the funeral. First up will be the son. Second up will be the queen. And third up will be the evil witch. Yep. Around about my birthday in 2021, there will be a funeral, a worship service, and, you know, basically a satanic worship service for the dead President Biden. And first up will be Hunter, and then second up will be Kamala, and then third up will be Vice President Hillary Clinton. And it will be poignant, and it will be so statesmanlike. And people will believe the bullshit in part because they've been wearing masks for a year by then, and so they've lost 15% of their brain function. And I know that sounds horrible for some of you, but I'm not really sure if you're getting what I'm saying here. There probably is no scenario by which anything is going to be normal ever again, not the way that people thought normal looked. Now, if you define normal by you live a life, you try to be happy, you try to be free, and people get hurt and die, then that will continue because that's the way it's always fucking been. But if you define normal as magical supermarkets that have all the protein cubes all the time, that's coming to an end and it isn't about the fucking toilet paper. Oh, and yeah, I'll say again, if you're still focused on the toilet paper at this point, I cannot help you. I cannot help you. Really. I can't. You need to treat the toilet paper problem as not the problem. It's great to have toilet paper. You can't eat it, though. You cannot eat it. You cannot make toilet paper stew. Maybe you could make toilet paper stew, but I wouldn't want to eat it. I wouldn't want to eat toilet paper stew, would you? I wouldn't want to eat toilet paper stew. And if it is the pull the plug and set fire to the restaurant, then things are going to be, yeah. I cannot tell you that there's a path through the next year that looks that great. None of the storylines look great. All of them look kind of terrible. And it is the great discontinuity. We're in it. If you were wondering 2 years ago, Dan, when's it going to start? Well, it probably started before, as I said 2 years ago, and now it's getting really hot. Now we're in the space where history is boiling at a very high temperature. And so even though there are things that are likely to happen, there are a lot of things that could happen. We should be open to that possibility. We are in the midst of a period of history that where history itself is boiling. And I know if that metaphor is hard for you, I apologize. But the thing about boiling water is it can take almost anything apart. meat, vegetables, if you boil it long enough, it'll be a radically different thing. Boiling water is a metaphor for a lot of energy in a system that needs to be released. We are at a period of history where there's so much energy built up in the system, it has to go someplace. And I know some people say, well, Dan, can't there be good things? Can't there be starships and, sugar paradise? Can't we have the hooker cocaine paradise of Hunter Biden? Well, I don't think Hunter ever did. And Hunter had money. Okay, Hunter had resources. Probably most people can't live like Hunter because even if you could afford the cocaine and the hookers and the meth, somebody has to like raise crops and raise cattle and do actual work. So even if you could live a life like Hunter, you couldn't have everybody doing it. But the thing is, there are people who believe that's almost here. Almost post-scarcity. We're almost to post-scarcity, and so we can all live like Hunter Biden, and I don't think that that's realistic. And remember, you're talking to an old hobo, an old drunk hobo Christian preacher, a crap head of fool. You're talking to Mungus McGee, and I'm telling you that you cannot have a world where where everyone just lives that way. You can't. It would never function. It will fail. That's where we're at, folks. The Great Pyramid is about to fall. And for some of you, that's going to be sad. For other people, you're going to see through the bullshit. And you're going to realize that all pyramids fall. All pyramids turn to dust. I don't care how big you make them. Eventually, they will turn to dust. Everything that humankind builds will turn to dust. I know that that scares some people. Actually, it's just the way things are. Anywho, for this Tuesday, it's still Tuesday. For this Tuesday, November the 24th, 2020, almost 11:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the night wolves at 12th Avenue are out about right now. The night wolves are trekking the streets. The night wolves are hunting with baseball bats and carpenter nails driven through them. The night wolves are out on the streets with their chain and their lead pipes. Yes, the night wolves are hunting, they're screeching, they're yelling. There's a dark, dark, darkness of dark, dark, dark out there, isn't there? But there's also good stuff too. Remember the good stuff while it's still around. Remember that a can of chili is a Christmas meal. Remember that the fruit of the loom might be the fruit of the apple pie. Remember that the cat and the dog are both protein. And if you get a protein cue from the government next year, and you see a little dolphin tattoo on some skin that they didn't quite remove in the protein cube, don't ask questions. Just watch a documentary about Argentinian soccer players that get stuck in the Andes. And on that note, have a great rest of your Tuesday, what's ever left of it. Wednesday is tomorrow, hump day. You hear me, shizzle?